Our study tonight is out of Acts chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, God's great use of a little selfless act. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles, from Jerusalem to Rome. We can thus learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts 28, 1 to 10, records a little selfless act by Paul, and how God greatly used it to open a door for an effective ministry on the island of Malta. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Acts 28, 1 through 10. When they were escaped, that is, escaped from the sea, then they knew that the island was called Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers him not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, when they looked that he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters there were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us for 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of actually dysentery, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also who had bad illnesses in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed they laded us with such things as were necessary. Okay, after all 276 people on board the wrecked ship had made it to the land of Malta, the islanders, who were non-Greek-speaking people, that's what they called everyone who was a barbarian, was a non-Greek-speaking person in the Greek text. They showed the shipwrecked people unusual kindness, kindling a fire and welcoming them to Malta due to the rain and to the cold. Remember, this is late fall, and close to November, and it's cold and it's rainy and it's wet, and these people have been in the water, and they've been under stress for 2 weeks, so it's a tough situation for them. Well, Paul himself was wet. He was tired. He was cold. He'd come through many days of stress only to have to swim in the pounding surf and rain to shore, so he could easily have spent his time just sitting by the fire getting dry and warm. However, he considered the needs of other people around him, and he busied himself with gathering a bundle of sticks to lay on the fire for the welfare of other cold and tired shipwrecked people. You know, this is a little door into the character of Paul. He's not on a big stage here with thousands of people where he can impress a lot of other people. He's been shipwrecked. It's been tough. And the other people with him have been shipwrecked too. And he could sit by the fire. He's cold. He's hungry. But nevertheless, he's thinking about other people. And he puts other people first. He's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's thinking of other people. Now, God used this little selfless act in a great way to give Paul an effective ministry on Malta. Since the weather was cold, a snake in the woodpile would initially be stiff and lethargic. So when one would gather sticks and that contained the poisonous snake, it would be relatively harmless for the gatherer because the snake could probably hardly move. However, the fire's heat would warm up the snake, and it would drive it out of the flames in an attack mode at any human nearby, since it would think that the human was trying to kill it by the fire. And that's how snakes operate. That, you know, if you put heat on them and it's a fire, they don't like that at all. So when Paul laid his sticks on the fire, a poisonous viper that had either been in the sticks Paul put on the fire or in the woodpile that was in flames came out of the heat and bit him so ferociously that it fastened itself on his hand, dangling there in pain. in plain sight before all the onlookers. In Nigeria, Africa, we had vipers, and vipers were very poisonous snakes. You could die with them much sooner than you would die with a rattler that we would find here. And they're normally small. And vipers normally will bite like that and pull back, but this snake was so ferociously angry at Paul, it grabbed on. And so it probably emptied everything in the venom sac right there. So he's getting a full dose of viper venom. He's supposed to die. That's what the people were expecting at this particular point. Well, the islanders saw the snake hanging on Paul's hand, so they concluded that he was likely a murderer who, though he had escaped death by the sea, was now getting justice and would die by the snake bite. So they waited for him to keel over. However, Paul shook the snake off into the fire. And that tells me something, too, that poisonous snakes, you can go ahead and kill them. That's what Paul did. He put it into the fire, and, of course, the snake died. So you can if there's an animal that's threatening to hurt you, you can kill it. Paul shook the snake off into the fire, and he suffered no harm. And when the islanders watched him for a long time, expecting him to have swollen up or suddenly fallen down dead by an enormous amount of venom that would have been inserted into his body with the serpents literally hanging on his hand, but only to suffer no harm, they changed their minds to think that Paul was a god. Now, Luke did not record Paul's reaction to that claim, but we're sure that much like his response to the similar claim of him and Barnabas at Lystra in Acts 14:8-18, Paul would have corrected their errant claim, and he would have clarified that he was a mere man who was a messenger of the Most High God, and likely have launched into a presentation of the gospel of Jesus. That's what he did at Lystra. He and Barnabas tore their clothes and ran in amongst the people and said, No, we're not gods. We're just men. We're mere men, just like you are. Now, the scene of the shipwreck, near the scene of the shipwreck, were the lands that were owned by the chief man of the island. His name was Publius. And he received the shipwrecked people and entertained them hospitably for 3 days. Now, in this meeting with Publius, Paul heard that Publius's father lay sick with a fever of dysentery. So Paul visited him, he prayed for the man, he put his hands on him, and he healed him. And of course, when that happens, that draws a crowd. That healing event gained the same response that Jesus did when he began to heal people in his earthly ministry. It led the rest of the people on the island who had diseases to come to Paul for healing. And they were healed, giving opportunity for Paul to evangelize these people. In Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, Jesus had healed a leper. And he told the man, now go show yourself to the priest, but don't tell anybody about my healing you. But the man didn't. He blazoned abroad the fact that the Lord had healed him. So that drew so many people after Jesus, he actually technically couldn't obey the Father anymore. The Father wanted him to go into the cities. But there were so many people around him, he couldn't go into the cities because it would, create an upset in the cities. The cities wouldn't be able to function. So Jesus had to stay out. But that's what happens when someone has the gift of healing. They can heal anybody. People come out of the woodwork. They want to get healed. So in the end, the people greatly honored Paul and his shipmates so that when they prepared to sail on another ship after the winter was past, the islanders put on board ship whatever they needed. It's interesting, this must have had a tremendous impact on the centurion. The centurion at first hadn't listened to Paul. Paul had given his advice, hey, you guys shouldn't be sailing. This is too late in the year. It's October 5. We're ready for nor'easters at this time of the year. It's too dangerous. They didn't listen to him, and then the storm blew them 600 miles over to Malta. And they landed. Fortunately, they hit the island. Of course, the Lord was leading the process. Otherwise, they could have kept going on to Gibraltar, who knows where. But it's interesting that the Lord honored Paul and honored everybody here and provided with him and for all the people with him and the people who were on the ship needed to go somewhere in the centurion, gave them everything they needed. And it's interesting, eventually when Paul gets to Rome, Paul has a lot of freedom. He only has one soldier who's attached with him who has to keep him under house arrest, but he could receive anybody he wanted after that, because Paul had built up a tremendous amount of trust with the Roman soldiers. So the lesson is, when Paul, in consideration of the needs of others around him, postponed addressing his own needs, to get warm and dry by the fire, to go and to gather more sticks for the fire. God used that little selfless act to open up a ministry for Paul on the entire island of Malta. Just interesting, just gathering sticks when you're cold and you're wet, and it opens up a ministry on a whole island. You never know. So in application, whenever we have opportunity, may we perform thoughtfully considered acts of kindness, even if they're little acts, that God can use to open doors of effective ministry for his glory. Now, if we perform a considerate act of kindness and find it initially threatening or harmful, as in Paul's case of getting snake bitten, may we handle the situation as sensibly as Paul did, like Paul shaking the snake off into the fire, and wait on the Lord to lead us from there. Of course, Paul had the advantage. God told him, you're going to get to Rome. So he knew he couldn't die by the snake bite immediately. If it affected him, it would have to postpone until he got to Rome, for sure. So he knew he was going to get to Rome. The Lord had told him back in Caesarea he was going to go to Rome. The Lord told him on board ship before they shipwrecked that he was going to go to Rome. So here he is, the snake's biting him, it's not a problem. God's going to get him to Rome. And the Lord did. Of course, Paul the Apostle, being an apostle, had the gift of healing. He actually raised a man from the dead, Eutychus, who fell out of a third-story window, fell down. They took him up dead, and Paul stretched himself upon the young man's body, just like one of the prophets of Elijah or Elisha had done, and raised him up. So the apostles had the power to raise people from the dead, and the Lord obviously gave him power at this point to handle the snake venom. So it's fascinating. What we need to do is, if we do an act of kindness and it seems that it just opens up a door of trouble, don't worry about it. Let it go. Just trust the Lord, obey the Lord, and see what God has in it for us, because he can use it to his tremendous glory. You never know what God is going to do. Many years ago, there was a missionary by the name of Jerry Swank. You folks don't know him. He was a missionary with a mission board that my parents were with. And he was ministering in a very strong Muslim territory in Nigeria, West Africa. He was trying to witness to a man. And he had gone out to a threshing floor where this Muslim man was threshing his grain. And he was witnessing to him about Christ. And the Muslim man turned to him and he brought up his son. His son was had some sort of an illness. And I think the son was crippled or something like that. And this Muslim man pushed his son in front of Jerry Swank and said, if your God is the true God, then why doesn't he heal my son? Like that. Jerry said, I don't know whatever came over me. He says, I'm not charismatic, but I lifted my hands to heaven. I said, oh God, heal this man's son. And he says, sure enough, the healing occurred instantly, right there, right on the spot. And that man became a believer. And I wouldn't have believed this if I hadn't heard this, but this report came to me by Dr. Peters, who was the head of the missions department at Dallas Seminary when I was there. Now, I knew Jerry Swank's son. I went to Kent Academy with him in Nigeria. But that happened only once, when he was trying to get a ministry going. And the Lord graciously just opened that ministry up. It was an act of kindness, but it's something that shook that Muslim man into coming to Christ. And, of course, that man himself became an excellent witness in that particular village. Now, we may not have that kind of a dramatic experience, and the Lord may not lead us in that way, but it's amazing what a little act of kindness can do. There's another missionary we had heard about who was having a tremendous witness with Arab Muslims. And he had a very high batting average of leading them to Christ. So someone did a study on what this man was doing. He had certain characteristics. He was a man who was a man of the book. He always quoted the Bible in front of the Muslims. And also he was persistent. He was faithful. But the third quality that this man had was that he would always do an act of kindness. Now, an act of kindness is something that is universal language. People understand kindness. They understand love and care. And when he did that, that opened up the hearts of Muslims, even though he was a Christian, and he was leading a number of them to Christ. So you never discount an opportunity. If an opportunity comes along to help, even in a small way. And especially in Paul's case, if it was an opportunity that came at personal cost, go with it, because the Lord can use it. Now, we can be too ostentatious, and we can overdo it in a wrong kind of a way. But Paul wasn't trying to overdo anything. He was generally trying to help the people who were around him and putting their needs first. If we have that kind of mindset, if we view ourselves as servants, self-imposed servants for the needs of other people around us, God can use us in a mighty way. So may God help us in that area.